So you're going to get the blessing. And so I want to say a word of prayer over you, and then they're going to start leading us in music. And so let's all bow our hearts together and our heads as we pray. Dear Father, we come before the great and mighty King, and we are so thankful, Lord, that you are in full control of this universe, Lord. And we know that there's stuff that's culminating all around us, and it looks like sometimes it looks out of control, but Lord, it's not falling apart. Really, the parts are falling into place, Lord, according to your will. And it's just propelling us in through these last days, Lord. We know someday Jesus is coming back. And I think the number one thing I want to pray for all of us is that we'll be found faithful. You talked about that, and you said that you're going to return, and were you going to find faith when you showed up? And so, Lord, just strengthen that faith in our hearts tonight. Bless us as we come before your throne to worship. Bless our music team, Lord, as they lead us. Bless Brother Harold tonight as well. And Lord, we just want to lift high the name of Jesus tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. We want to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We just want to thank you all for letting us come this week and come alongside you in your revival. That's been a blessing for us. And I hadn't realized I hadn't introduced it. Go ahead and stand. Poor John's up there standing by himself. Hadn't introduced everybody officially, so I'm going to do that real quick. We got Bobby Brock on bass and Davey Brock on drums. They're 1 minute apart in age. Davey's 1 minute older than Bobby. This is my lovely wife, Christy. I'm Jeff. This is Carrie. And this is Corey. Corey's going to sing special for us tonight. Now we got that out of the way. Let's praise God. So, you might know this next song.
It is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I want to praise the Lord for this group who have led us to the Father's throne every night. We have been blessed by their abilities. It's kind of fun to pick on Jeff there a little bit, here, there, and yonder. And what a wonderful time we have had. Amen. I'm going to be packing up and heading to Kentucky, but it will not be without missing you all. And I want to challenge you to continue what God has placed in front of you. It's not a meeting. Amen. It's a process. It's an opportunity and a need in our community and in our churches to follow the Lord and do what He'd have us to do. I want to challenge you as well as we go back. I ask that you pray. And we're grateful for everything that you all have done for us. In particular, I want to thank Brother John, Miss Shelley, and the kids for hosting and keeping me out of trouble, and other folks, Brother Bill taking me out to visit and those kind of things. We are grateful. Now, in the mix of it, I challenge you, we've got some things going on, and we have been preaching every night. So let me tell you what's happened and just ask you to pray for it. We are stretched out on all points back home. I was asked about 6 months ago to start on the radio every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. That was a proposition that was given, and God's given us liberty every Sunday morning to preach on that radio station. 2 months ago, we were doing promotions on radio station in Cadiz, Kentucky, which covers 125,000 plus people. And they asked me, would I be interested in a prime spot on WKDZ? The answer is yes. It's real simple. God wants us to spread the message. God wants us to spread the word. So we took on that by challenge, and many of you hadn't been able to hear a lot about what we do, but I would just ask you to pray for that, for the sponsors to take care of that. By faith, I already told them they've already started, and sooner or later they'll give us a bill. Amen. But you pray for that as it goes out for folks. On the back, I think Brother Bill, Bug just got burnt by the light bulb. Amen. There's a sheet back there that you can sign up on our email list to find out what we're doing, where we're doing it. And I threw this at Brother John this morning. Man, look at me. I want to see some of y'all come to Kentucky. Free housing. Church don't have to pay for anything but getting a little fuel and some groceries. We'll take care of the rest, and you can go with us and see what God's doing on the planet. Amen. And if you don't come, I'll be mad and come back and make fun of you more. Amen. That's the deal. All right. Come see us. Now, the rest of you, that don't leave you out, but if the men ain't leading, you ain't going to go anyway. So, if y'all want to come with them, y'all hold on just a minute. I'm not crazy. There's a bug up here. I am crazy, but there's a bug up here. Oh, yeah. Well, what are you doing? There's much going on, and we appreciate this is a part of what it takes for me and my family to do the ministry God's given us. So we thank you already. Now, I've been out, and to be honest with you, we took a break from visiting this afternoon a little bit. And I'm going to be honest with you, I have wrestled with the blessed book today. I want to go over to the book in the New Testament, and I want to challenge you with the man that was born of four, and tell you that you got to work together. I want you to understand, y'all are trying to find it in Scripture. Just stay this way. I'm going to give them all to you. We're just going to rapid fire. You got to work together, see people saved. And it's because of your faith that that happens. I want to get over to the book where God calls a man out from preaching to quit doing what he's doing normal and goes out on a desert road and sees a man saved. You got to be willing to adjust, and you got to be willing to stop what you're doing and go do something else sometimes. I want to go over and talk about how Paul was engaging at Mars Hill, a place where the folks were a little bit different. And he, listen to me, he spoke their language. And as he spoke their language, he helped them identify who this God is that they need. I challenge you, go out and quit speaking our language. Go out there and speak their language. Because they need the Savior. I want to go over to Ezekiel chapter 3 and tell you that if you don't go do it, their blood's on your hands. But as we've been visiting, as we've been watching, as we see questions, as we see the desire of the church and the pastor, I just want to give you something tonight to chew on. It's evangelistic in a sense, it's educational in a sense, and it's directive in a sense. There's a sense of hopelessness in our country. There's a huge need around here. And may I say this, sometimes we can get so selfish about what we got going on with our needs that we forget that there are huge needs everywhere. And as I drove around, and I want you to hear me say something, I am one of the in a sense, one of the least judgmental preachers you can find, meaning this: red, yellow, black, or white, rich, poor, we go to the jail, we go other places, homosexuality, drug addiction, alcoholism, physical, sexual abuse, everything in the world. I don't care, it's all sin. But when there's hopelessness in the world, it's because people are only worried about today. Turn over with me to Nehemiah and put your finger in the first chapter of Nehemiah. I'm going to go as fast as I can tonight, but I believe with all my heart that we need this. As you get there, say amen. All right, there's a couple of you. We'll keep waiting. They're getting there. Nehemiah chapter 1. 70 years, the city walls have laid in waste. I want you to lay on top of everything I've preached so far and let you resonate with the fact that God's got a purpose and a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11. Sir, ma'am, friend, family, God's got a purpose and a plan for your life. A plan to prosper you and not to harm you. A plan for good and not evil. God has a purpose for you. That's the reason you're on the planet. There are people around us. There are people around us that God has a purpose for their life. What is that purpose? Proverbs, as you're there and you got your finger there, I just want to quote a verse for you. Proverbs 29:18. It says this: where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. There's another translation that says, where there is no revelation, no God-given directive, the people cast off restraints. The reality is this: as we drive around, as we see what's going on, there's a huge need to understand that you must have a vision for what's going on for people not to die. And when you go around and there's meth being cooked everywhere. Now, I may be meddling tonight, but I want you to catch me. When I discuss and converse with people, not just here but in Kentucky, and there's divorce on every hand, where we go through the process of dealing with fractured homes and frustrated people, when you deal with all the stuff in the economics and the frustration and combativeness between this race and that race and this economy and that economy and this Democrat and that Republican and this flag and no flag and can I go on and on? People just struggling with stuff. And can I say this? People are dying. And the dying, the perishing, no revelation he's talking about is this: it is a separation from God for an eternity. When I walk around, and it's not the first time it's happened to me, but I got to say that when you deal with religion and junk all around you and somebody says, I'm just going to die and be worm dirt, they don't see anything for their life. They can't see what God's got a plan. And here's the deal: when all you see is today, the moment and the need, and you don't see anything beyond it, I promise you, you're going to die in that state. And in that state, you're miserable and other people around you are dying. How many of you believe me today that there's a multitude of folks around us that have already perished? That the reality is they've given up on life. There is no hope. There is no joy. There is no peace. There is no satisfaction. There is a hunger for nothingness. Sad faces. Even in the church house. We come to the church and we don't know why we're here. Other than somebody invited me, and the reality is I'd like to know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, so I'm just going to keep doing this until somebody tells me what to do. And I'm miserable! To the point there's people on depression and folks that are on pills and people that are fighting one another and the really what they're doing is fighting themselves and what God wants for them. Because God's got a hope for you. Listen to me, God's got a hope for you, and it's more than a job and a paycheck and the next deal. It's more than the next woman or next man. It's more than the next bottle or the next peel or the next. You see, the reality as we come tonight is, I hope that you see that there's got to be vision for your life. You see, here's the deal. The Scripture says in Romans 10, and we'll get to Nehemiah in just a second because I want to prove something to you. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That faith is something that we're looking for that we can't put our hands on yet. And Hebrews says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. How many of you have seen heaven? Quit lying. How many of you have seen hell? Now, we say life is hell. What I say from the pulpit sometimes kind of stuns people. You know, here's the problem. We're not getting real. And there are people around you that will tell you, I feel like I'm in hell right now. I'm going to agree with them for a part. Because any place in this world where you are separated from God is a glimpse of the eternal perspective of a place called hell, where we worry about fire and worms and stuff like that, and where the water won't quench and we never die. That's all terrible. Beyond that terrible is torment. The torment is not all the fire and stuff. Torment is the fact that there's a holy God that loves you, has a plan for your life, and now you're going to be separated from Him for an eternity, on and 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 on, and from those that you feel like you love. In the mix of things, I make a statement on a regular basis, and I want to make it tonight. You may want to write it down and just chew on it, and resonate on it over and over again. But if you don't see it, before you see it, you'll never see it. Let me express to you this, that right now in your being, who you are, if you don't really by faith see yourself seated in heaven with God because you know that He saved you, you didn't see Jesus die. He said how great it is that it is that they saw it happen, but others will believe it even though they haven't had the liberty to see it. Hello? That we weren't there on Golgotha. We weren't there the morning they rolled the stone away from the tomb. Oh, no, they didn't do that. It was already gone. And they were shocked. And they run in and bump their head on the rock and say, He's not here! And there's an angel sitting there that says He's alive. And they go hide, waiting, and He shows up. And I want you to catch what I just said. We've not visibly seen that, but the reality is by faith, because of the Word, we can see that. And if you don't see that tonight, look at me, guys, look at me, ladies, look at me, kids. If you don't see that for your life through Jesus Christ, it's not going to happen. James chapter 2, 17-18, it says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. You know what I've heard all week? I'm trying to get there. I think I'm doing okay. Now here's the deal. The works presents itself because we've already had faith. Listen to me. Show me thy faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So church, here's what I'd say. If you know you're going to heaven and there's a personal vision for you in the church and what you're supposed to be doing, the rest of the world ought to be seeing it worked out by faith. Meaning, whatever He's asked you to do, that you step to it so that they can see that you're believing that God's taking you somewhere that doesn't make any sense to the rest of the world, but in the mix of it, because of that, they can see how God works in people's lives so that they too can believe in this dude named Jesus that's in a little black book that we carry around, we talk about it, and we don't get it confused because of all the religion and junk and stuff, but because we believe it and know it in our heart. Can I ask you a question? Do you see it? I'm not asking you, does the preacher see it? Does the church see it? Does somebody else see it? Do you see it? See, sometimes I draw a diagram of the target out there. And the reality is, if you don't see that target, and we're trying to get where we're supposed to be, and we've got the materials in hand, we've got the book available, we've got stuff here for us to know it. We've got people involved. And the faith in the works looks like this. We know it and we're trying to get there to it. But watch this. This arrow will never hit that mark over there. Listen to me. Until you turn it loose. And the purpose of your life in that lands it where it belongs. Not because you did it, because you had faith to believe it and He works it out and you get where He wants you to be. Do we get distracted? Sure we do. Is anybody in here bow hunt? You're on target, you're doing this, and there's things that make it move. Oh, there was a squirrel. But it's going to do you no good to let go facing the wrong way. It's not until you turn to what God's got for you. Look at me, listen to me. It's not until you turn to what God's got for you that the worth of your life is realized in your own life when you let it go by faith. Because bam, then you see it. In the mix of things, go to Nehemiah chapter 1. I just want to go as a church, as a people. Listen, you have to have vision. Because if not, the houses around here that are falling down. That's the reason they're hopeless and falling down is they don't see anything other than what they already see. Hello? I just made some of you feel bad. I'm telling you, there's more to life than what's going on. And we don't have any hope. And people act like they don't have any hope. And three times this week we've talked to people and they said, we're just tired of living. You know why they're tired of living? Because they can't see anything else. And being tired of living ends up with a crack pipe in your mouth. Or a woman on your side that you don't want. Or a bottle hid under the sink. Or a suicide note left for your children. The mix of it is this. The Lord gave them liberty, and you'll remember in the Old Testament, I'm not going to preach the whole thing tonight in Nehemiah, but they had been set free. And they'd been told, God told them, this is where I want you. I want you to go back and I want you to rebuild the city. And I want you to rebuild that city because in that city will be the temple. And in that temple is, listen to me, don't miss this part because the wall don't make no sense unless you get this. In that temple, you can meet with God and deal with sin. In that temple, you can meet with God and deal with sin. There's no other place in the world except with Jesus than you can meet with God and deal with sin. And in the mix of it, God knew that, and there needed to be a barrier and a protective covering for the people and those to meet with God and deal with sin. So Nehemiah is stuck back in another place, and he's left in the group with captivity. And listen, and he looks, and people bring him a message in verses 1 and 2. Hanani, verse 2, one of my brethren came, and he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which had been left of captivity concerning Jerusalem. They said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. The message is that it's a horrible mess, even though that's not what God had planned. Let me assure you, your neighbors, your family, your life, it is not supposed to be a mess. That's not God's plan for your life. I can prove it. He placed you on the planet. He desires a relationship with you. He's got a plan for your life. But here's the deal. Because we get distracted and we're left in the captivity, we're stuck in places we're not supposed to be. It's called sin. Then we're really not fulfilling what God's got for us, and then there's no joy, no peace, no love, no nothing. Because you know why you can't have peace, joy, and love? Is because you've not dealt with sin and you've not been with Jesus. You've not dealt with sin and you've not had an opportunity to have relationship with Jesus. If you're miserable tonight, you have to make a check on that. These are God's people. So you can, look at me, you can be saved and miserable. I'll tell you why, because you've left things undone. Nehemiah gets a burden. He gets broken. Verse 6, he says in this that he beseeches the Lord in verse 5, and then he comes to the point and he says that he confesses, listen, the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Can I tell you that the reason that we're in a mess is generational curses from the sins of the past and today? Look at me real clear. If you want your life to clear up, if you want to quit battling the junk, my father was an alcoholic. I could be an alcoholic today. Deuteronomy 5:9 says he'll visit the sins on the father on the third and fourth generation. It means this: the sin of life lingers in the family because we never deal with the sin that lingers in the family. And Nehemiah says, oh my God, God help us. As I hear this message, as I see the turmoil, as I see the junk in town, as I see family's burden, he grabs himself and throws him at the altar and says, oh my God, forgive us! Forgive God's people! Forgive the church! Forgive us, God! Forgive our mothers and our fathers for forsaking the stuff we ought to be doing instead of building this stuff. God, forgive us! Forgive us for playing church. God, forgive us. God, forgive us for just showing up. God, forgive us for giving token offerings. God, forgive us for playing around. God, forgive us! We have dealt, verse 7, very corruptly against thee, and have not kept thy commandments, nor thy statutes, nor thy judgments, which thou commanded thy servant Moses. How are we doing so far? We know what to do. To him to know to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. So whatever God's told you to do and you ain't done it, you're no better off than these folks. The mess is over there. What God, listen, what God has in the plan, remember what I said? It's still the plan for you. Doesn't matter how off target you get, it's still the plan for you. Whether you even want it or not, listen to me, God wants you to be saved. Whether you want it or not, whether you want it or not, God still wants you to be saved so that you can deal with sin and be with Him. In the mix of it, they go through this process. He finishes this conversation. The king catches this. He says, Nehemiah, what's wrong with you? Verse 3 says, why should I not, my countenance not be sad when the city, the place my father's sepulcher lieth in waste, the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Why should the church be kind of flatlined? Why should we not be a little frustrated with life when it's not what it's supposed to be, God? You see, we try to fix it with Lord tabs and visits and counseling and beer and whiskey and other relationships. Big boats hunting. We try to fix it with another job or two or three more jobs. But the reality is we're still hurting and broke. And by the way, that's why it's hard for me to preach this. I want you to know other people can see it. He says, what can I do? Verse 8 says, "And the king granted me according to the good hand of the Lord." God will use the world. Listen, don't miss this. God will use the world stuff to help you if you'll just cry out to Him. He can use the world stuff to help you. And the king says, okay, just because God said so, listen to me. The good hand of God. Aren't you glad that there's a time in your life where you've probably experienced the fact that the good hand of the Lord's been on you? That time where there's a sweet peace in your life. And things are going because you got your head focused on what you're supposed to be focused on. And it's just like God's pouring out His blessing on you. And there are things that happen you can't explain or understand. And God says, you go do whatever you got to do, son. And I'm going to let the king tell you. Hello? Now here's the deal. Back to the vision. You got to see it. And He says in verse 17, oh, Nehemiah gets a little excited. Can I tell you something? When you really can see something beyond the day, when it's more than getting your head off the pillow, listen to me. When it's more than getting your head off the pillow and making sure that you can figure out how to get your head back on the pillow, that there's a plan and purpose out there for you, there's something available to you. When you get it in your gut that God's got something for you, you can be a cheerleader for everybody else. He says, let us. Notice every sermon I've preached has to do with us coming together in unity. Let us build up the walls of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. Verse 17. Then He says, let us rise up. Listen, you can't sit and do it. There's actions got to be taken. That's in verse 18. And listen, so they strengthened their hand to the work. You know the reason you come to church? Not to get fed like fat pigs at a hog trough. To be fed a diet so that you can exercise what's been given to you to strengthen yourself to go do what God's told you to go do. We treat it like it's Burger King. We want it our way. We get what we want for the day, and we come back through the drive-thru every Sunday. And what we're here for is to strengthen for the work that God's got for you and for me and for the church and for the kingdom. God wants you to do something. News bulletin, church, look at me. Y'all are falling asleep because it's the fourth day. Look at me. God wants you to do something. Verse 19, I want you to know something. In the mix of things, I promise you, if you try to do what God wants you to do, the enemy is going to be around you, and the Scripture says he's going to poke fun at you and cause you all kinds of trouble. Sanballat and Tobiah, it says they tried to laugh them to scorn. So when that happens, here's what you do. Verse 20, don't you worry about it, Sanballat and Tobiah. The God of heaven will prosper us. God's got this. And when you, listen to me, don't miss this. When you know what's going on, no matter how bad it gets or how bad the enemy is, as long as you know where you're headed and you keep that in focus, you keep that in line, you can look at any trouble, difficulty, or thing around you and say, it's okay, God's got this. But you know why we don't stand in worship? You know why we don't get excited about some of those songs that we sang? It's because we've forgotten what we're looking for. And the end result is, we're not sure. You're not sure if God's got this. Let me reaffirm for you, God's got this. In the mix, they got there and they came together. Turn over to chapter 4. They continue in the chapter 4. There's other things that happen. And they come to Him in verse 3 and says, even the foxes will break it down. But they keep on. In verse 6, here's the deal. You got to get your head right. It says in verse 6 that they built, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. Philippians 4:8 tells us that we ought to think on certain things. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That means you can't deal with the world. You got to keep your mind on what God's got for you. And in the mix of it, He'll do what He needs to do. And He says, then you can present your body a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, for this is your reasonable service. He's got something for you to go do. But let me say this. You got to get your mind right. And here's what I know about the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, the God of this world, listen to me, the God of this world, little g, Satan himself, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. That saved and lost, mostly lost, but those who do not believe, lest the God of this world deceive us. Let me say something. You can't get it if you keep letting other things filter through this cranium right here. And what we do is, we put your hands up in front of you. I can't even see what God wants me to do because Satan has put all that junk I've been talking about right there in front of me. And we've forgotten what he's done. And there's miserable believers all over the world. There are people in here, listen, you can't see what God's already done for you on the cross because everything keeps getting put in. And when somebody's trying to tell you, all you can see is the pain, all you can see is the bitterness, all you can see is the hurt, all you can see is the frustration. Listen, God wants to do a work in your life tonight. They work on this thing, and these boneheads keep pressing in on them. And the army's coming. Let me say this, the hounds of hell are on you right now. On your families, on this neighborhood, on this church. They don't want to quit. Satan is a punk. He's a liar, a cheater, and a thief. And until we as believers, listen to me, recognize that in the mix of everything we're doing, that he is real, we still can't go. In the mix of it, they knew it. So Nehemiah does something. He said, here, boys, get you a spear. Hello? And he said, get to work. So he's got one hand on the spear and one hand on the rocks. One hand on the spear, one hand on the rocks. They got particular people in particular places, and they got one hand on the spear and one hand on the rock. That's a visual picture of this. You cannot do it. You cannot do it without the Word of God in your life. You can't see it. You can't defeat the enemy. And we don't even get this thing out and read it, much less memorize it or chew on it. And the reason we're defeated pups, the reason we can't see where God wants us to go, the reason we can't accomplish what God wants for our lives at our homes, daddies, mama, the reason the kids have lost their gourd and you have too, you can't do it without the Word of God. You can do a whole lot and you'll be working yourself to death. But if you want to defeat the enemy and win what he's got, listen, do it with your hand on the Word. And here's the deal, 70 years, turnover. I'm fixing to get excited. They have a little conversation over in chapter 5. And he says, also I said, it is not good that ye ought not to walk in the fear of God because of the reproach of the heathen and the enemies. What Nehemiah is saying there is, listen, the reason that they're overtaking you is because you don't fear God. How do I know that? You're still doing the same stuff. Ain't worked out for you. You don't fear God. You're in control. You're in charge. Man, you do what you want to and really don't care what happens. You know how many times I've heard that? Now look at me. Everybody look at me. You may not be dumb enough to state it from your mouth, but if you're living like it, you've said it to God. They do what they're supposed to do. Listen to me. God caught his heart. He became broken, told him what needed to be done. He got his head straight, his heart right, and they put their hand to it with the direction of the Lord and their hand on the Word. And the next thing you know, listen to me, what could not be done in 70 years. Look at verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. My God is real. My God is able. My God will finish what He wants done. My God will use who He wants to use. My God is able to do things that nobody else can do. And my God is in the miracle working business. For 70 years it laid in waste. For 70 years people's hearts are struggling. For 70 years people are living in hell. For 70 years nobody is having sin dealt with. And nobody is in the presence of God for 70 years. And when one dude gets it in his gut, lands on his knees before God, gets up and challenges them in 52 days, they do what everybody else says couldn't be done. Now you're sitting here and you're saying, God, I just give up. This is where we live and I can't make it. I'm just going to live like everybody else. God, I'm coming, my health is a wreck. And doctors can't fix it. God, I'm coming and my kin folks are on dope and ain't nobody seem to be able to... I'm done with it, I'm just going to live. Your marriage is a wreck. Your family, interchanged in marriage... That meaning your siblings and your mom and your daddy and your aunts and your uncles, it's just hell. And so you've just said, this is where I'm at today. And so I'm just going to stay right here today. And the reality of this story, because you don't have vision to see what God's got for your life, which is hope, because He loves you, because He won't, look at me, don't miss this, He wants to deal with the sin, and He wants you in His presence. First of all, that's called salvation. Second of all, in our life, that's called peace, joy, and love that He wants to give believers. Amen and oh me. And as we sit here in this community, in this town, can I tell you what Cadet Baptist Church needs? They need to get their eyes focused back on what God told them go do 25 years ago. That's reach this people out here. And you're not going to do it eating the buffet on Sunday morning. It's going to be because you get to the work. The rest of us in here on an individual basis, everybody look at me. I want you to get this. I don't know why I'm supposed to preach this tonight, but there's people in here hurting. And if they're not in here hurting, you're around them and they're hurting. We've knocked on their doors and they're hurting. The reason they don't come when you encourage them is because they don't see for themselves that this part is a blessing for what God's got for their lives. Some of us are trying to find the church we're supposed to be in. Some of us are finding the position for God that we're supposed to do, the areas of service He wants for us, what life looks like tomorrow, what our bank account should be. And the reality is we've not even checked in with God. But when we do, we will see the reproach that's there. We'll see the stuff that's undone. And to be honest with you, the reason we don't have revival is because it doesn't break our hearts. When Nehemiah got the message that what God wanted for him and them was not done. Did y'all catch Nehemiah wasn't there? So by faith, listen to me. By faith, he knew that it was broke down, and by faith, he knew it could be fixed. He wasn't over there. He had to get over there. Pew! Boom, baby! And in 52 days, that's good stuff. God can fix your stuff faster than you think He can. The problem is you've not come to the point where you want Him to. You can't get, listen, He could not get ready over there to go fix the wall. Some of you, look at me, some of you trying to get ready for what you think God's got for you rather than getting where God wants you, and that's being saved. Because He wants to deal with your sin. And He wants you to be in His presence. Do you see it? Do you see yourself in heaven? Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for you? You believe He got up out of the grave for you? Do you believe that you're covered by the blood? Then get up with anticipation to face the battle with Satan. Push through it with the Word of God. Do what He told you to go and do, and you will see miracles. With every head bowed and every eye closed. The purpose and plan for your life above everything else, sir. Listen to me with your head bowed. Quit silence and calmness for just a minute. Is that Jesus Christ wants to deal with your sin because you can't deal with it. And He wants you to experience His presence. If you're here tonight and you've never given your heart and life to Christ by faith, sir, ma'am, you're lost. And I'm going to say the same words that this passage says. You're a reproach to God at the moment. And just like Nehemiah, all you've got to do is go to Him and say, God, forgive us our sins. And a work will start. If you're here right now, and you're lost, here's what I know. And here's what you know. You see it already. It's a blind and dumb faith, meaning this. You already know you're going to hell. Because when you ask somebody if they're saved and they're not sure, you know in your gut that you're going to hell. If you're here tonight and that's you, would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you? You say, that's me. You'd say, I'm not sure. Would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you? Never been a time and place in your life where you've been saved. Others of you'd say, I'm struggling tonight. Listen to me. I'm struggling with life tonight and I've got my focus off and things are not out right. I've got sin in my life. And it's been a long time since I've been in His presence. I've got sin in my life. And it's been a long time since I've been in His presence. If that's you, would you slip your hand up for me? Anybody? I sense that tonight as we're here, that Satan would have us not to pay any attention to a bit of this. And watch a dying world around us struggle and be frustrated and even be struggling and frustrated in our own homes and in our own lives. And I would say to you tonight that Jesus has the answer. And the same altar that Nehemiah went to is the same altar that you can go to. And the same God who received what He had to say will receive what you've got to say. But if we don't care, let's just dismiss and go home. But if God's spoken to your heart, I challenge you tonight. Sin and frustration and emptiness and everything else, bring it to the altar of God and let God do a work. Father, in the name of Jesus, under the authority of Your blood, under the power of Your Word, we demand and command that the enemy flee. God, You've got a purpose for our life. You've got something for us that's beyond what we can understand. God, You desire tonight that we deal with our sin and be in Your presence. So Father, in this place, I pray that You would do a work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? I'm not going to ask you to do anything. They're going to sing. The altar's open. There are decisions that need to be made in this place. There are things that you... not listen, sir, ma'am, family, there are things that you need to do in this place tonight. It's up to you. The altar's open. Would you come?
Your voice doesn't necessarily make that noise. I pray it will. Maybe you just don't feel comfortable enough yet to say it. Please say it tonight before you go to bed. Please speak to Jesus tonight and remind Him that you know He's holy. The Father's holy. We need to always remember that. Sometimes we get to treating Him like He's our buddy. And He is close to us, closer than a brother. He does love us, but I want us to remember where He abides, who He is. He's not one to just shrug off, is He? Can I have everybody have a seat for just a second? I got a testimony to share with you. I feel tired on the outside, but on the inside I'm full of new energy and joy. And I feel the spirit of revival. It's really boiling inside of me. I've been needing it bad. By Tuesday, I'll be honest with you, it was feeling pretty daunting because the enemy just looked too big. We've been running around doing visitation, you know, doing visits all around the area, and I'm just going to tell you, there's a lot of hurting people out there. A lot of hurting people, a lot of messed up families. Don't even resemble families. There's, you go to the school and you get a sense of the mess that a lot of folks, some of these kids are living in. And I know the folks at the school are beside themselves. There's so many of the administrators and teachers are just like, we're just going to try to maintain. We're going to try to get by. We're going to try to give them some facsimile of normality. And I'm going to be honest with you. For us church folk, it's real tempting just to come here on Sunday and kind of hide from it. And we say, praise God, it's not like that in here. But the thing of it is, without Jesus, it's never going to change. And so, we've pulled up at places and I've been welcome in some and not so welcome in others. But the gospel is not bound. And today, after Tuesday, I woke up Wednesday and I was feeling kind of drained and I was trying to figure out, okay, what does all this mean? Let me hear from you, God. And I just want to praise God for my dear brother, Brother Harold. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just going to be honest with you. He's real. It's refreshing. Every time we go out driving together, you know, I'll say, you want to go here? He said, Brother, I am here with you, and I'm here to do what you do. And I really just want to. And so we've had quite the experience. But it wasn't just to have fun together. It was to ask God for his vision. And I know the vision is to make disciples of all nations, amen? But like, we got to maybe fine-tune it a little bit more than that and take it one piece at a time. And whenever I walked into the school this morning to the prayer room at Thursday morning, God said, I want this school.
Amen.
He said, the prayer room is good, but it's just a start. Now we're going to see what you do about it. And so it's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some cooperation. And even probably more than one church. But we're going to start to try on their turf to win the hearts to Christ. And so... so I praise God for the prayer room, and that's going to be our starting point. Those kids that come to prayer, that's where we're going to start. But we're not staying there. And the gospel's going to spread through that school. And so I just want to know, Kidnap Baptist Church, are we going to do it together? Are we in on it? Because I truly believe this is God speaking right now. And it don't mean that we're just doing children's ministry. This is family ministry. And it starts at the level of the children. And if it wasn't confirmation enough, I got back over here to church and I opened up this letter that was laying on my desk from the Ministerial Alliance of Potosi. And it said, on the general October meeting, and it gave the date, we generally ask the Potosi School District representatives to come to our Ministerial Alliance meeting. But this year, we're inviting the Kingston School as well. God's beginning to open the doors. And he's already shown me there's already an FCA started in the high school, and it hasn't been real active. But we're going to do everything we can to come alongside of Mr. Huddleston, who helps to lead that, and encourage him and help him. I think he feels overwhelmed. And I think we can help be the legs to help him reach some children in that school. And I can assure you it is perfectly 100% legal. There's an equal access to that school, and as long as it's not being compulsed by the school leaders during school hours, it is absolutely legal. So don't you be fooled by any of the lies that are out there. And don't you be fooled by any of the lies from the enemy saying that it can't be done. How many prisons are you in? 29 prisons that they're doing Bible-based ministry in right now, and he's being invited. Not one of those is he in that he hasn't been invited to. How many of the Job Corps? 4 Job Corps now. Government institutions. And they're inviting him to come and do the ministry. You know why? Because they see it work. You know who's going to win those families? You know who's going to help straighten out these family units? You know who's going to give these children a chance? It's going to be Jesus Christ. And we're going to continue to have our church services. We're going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to be baptizing believers here, growing. But we're going to go out and win more of these kids where they're at. And so, please, let's all continue to pray toward this, because we need God's vision, his strength, and open doors everywhere we go. But I can tell you, I feel like I've got something boiling in my heart right now. And I want you to feel that same joy as we go forward together. Amen.
Can I say something?
Yes.
There are very few churches these days, listen to me,